What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, co-host Wes Goldberg, joining me in just a minute. Got a good one for you today, as there was an injury in the NBA recently, not to one of the Warriors, but could potentially affect the Warriors. We'll tell you the who, what, where, when, why, and how of all of it. We also had an interesting question about potential contributors for the Dubs next year. Who's most likely to contribute? Who isn't? And on top of that, should there be a new statistic added to the triple-double criteria? We're going to get to all of that in just a minute here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Wes Goldberg joining me in a minute. Dubs taking on the Jazz tonight in what is a tough matchup. The Jazz have been incredibly hot as of late. The schedule hasn't been too rough for them, but either way, you play who's on your schedule, you play who's in front of you, and they've been racking up wins ever since Mike Conley went down, which is a little weird. Shout out, Mike. I think he'll be able to come back and be what he once was, or closer to what he once was, and help this team. But, yeah, that's always tough for a player when you go down and your team starts playing better, which the Jazz are absolutely doing, playing great, and taking on the Dubs tonight. But there was an injury earlier this week in the NBA that – it's tough. I hate injuries. Tough to see someone go down this way. And it wasn't someone on the Warriors, but could affect the Warriors and their future. Speaking of their future, we're also going to talk about who could potentially be contributors for the Dubs next season when it really starts to matter. It's been great watching some of these young guys play well this year. But the thing is, you have to project how well they'll play and how well they'll fit with Steph and Klay and Draymond when it's all back to normal, so to speak, for the Warriors. And can players like Pascal and Poole and Spellman and Lee fit in with those guys? And also, should there be a new statistic added to the triple-double criteria? Spoiler alert, no, there shouldn't, but we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you bet $2,000, you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that is promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today, and that is promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You play, you win, you get paid. We talk a lot about physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an ever-important part of his mental fitness routine. If you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off of a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron James in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's a tough one, so I'm going to spell it out for you. That's calm.com/LOCKEDONNBA. Wes, the Dubs are taking on the Utah Jazz tonight at the Chase Center, and we will get to that in just a minute. Maybe a little preview of the Dubs being a bad team going up against a really hot team in the Utah Jazz. But first off, there were a couple of things that happened in the NBA recently that could affect the Warriors. Now, I hate talking about injuries and speculating on trades and things like that, but, you know, that's the job. And recently, Dwight Powell of the Dallas Mavs went down with a torn Achilles. And it sucks, you know, having to KD, injuries suck. And he was having a great year, really good pick and roll partner with Luka Doncic. But for me, immediately, I start to think, is that a fit for Willie Cauley-Stein with Dwight Powell going down? And it may not be perfect. You may not get a ton back. But as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, see injuries happening, I don't know. It's possible. So as far as teams potentially wanting to get Willie Cauley-Stein, that's another one. And if there are multiple, that's where you start getting a bidding war and maybe get something valuable out of it.
Well, I had the same exact thought when that happened. I was watching because it was the only game on Tuesday night, Clippers, Mavericks, and he goes down, and you wonder about what they lost there. And you know, it's like you said, he's a great pick and roll partner with Luka Doncic. And of course, that is Willie Cauley-Stein's specialty, is being a transition player, a pick and roll player, and a big body. And I think that if you're Dallas, Willie Cauley-Stein is the sort of guy you're looking for. He's got a player option next season, but he's still a valuable contract. You don't know how Dwight Powell will come back from that Achilles. I mean, it's going to be season ending, but you don't know how he's going to come back next season even. So it'd be nice to have a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein on a value contract, especially after they just signed Dwight Powell. I think he makes like $10 million a year or something. So you don't want to invest a lot more money at that position if you're the Mavericks. And so, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, to construct a trade, they do have some minor salaries. They've got some you know, things that they could do to make a trade work. But they would obviously have to include probably a draft pick and send that toward Golden State. But it does make a lot of sense if you're the Mavericks, because they have championship aspirations this year. They think that they could get to probably the Western Conference Finals, and not having Dwight Powell is going to be, I mean, we've already heard that they were interested in a guy like Andre Drummond or something like that. I saw a lot of that afterwards, you know, on Twitter. Should they go after Drummond now or something like that? I think that's too much of an investment, but a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein makes a lot of sense for them.
And that's a great point about the player option that has been looked at as a detriment to his trade value, because teams don't want to have a second year on that contract, have to be committed to him. But like you said with Powell, okay, let's say it takes a year for him to come back. So that's halfway through next season, and you don't know what he's going to come back as. And a year is somewhat generous. You know, a year is probably the minimum amount of time it takes to come back from a torn Achilles. So in this case, that second year, that player option could be looked at as a positive when it comes to trading for Willie Cauley-Stein for the Mavs. And of course, immediately my mind goes to that second round pick that the Warriors sent to the Mavs back when they moved Bogut there during the whole Kevin Durant maneuvering. And that's probably too high, probably too valuable, but you know, one can dream. That was where my mind went immediately, was maybe they get that second round pick back, because that's one of the detriments to the, you know, just their luck and bad luck, as far as the luck of getting Kevin Durant and moving Andrew Bogut to the bad luck of the injuries this year, is that's probably going to be a pick that falls between, you know, 31 and 33, most likely. So that's where my mind went. But of course, that's probably too rich for Willie Cauley-Stein.
I don't know if it is. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein's a good player on a value contract. I mean, a second round pick, if you're Dallas and you're kind of like, hey, they think that they're in their championship window right now. I mean, how many more rookies do you want to add to this roster, even in the second round? I agree. I mean, that's a very valuable pick. The top of that second round, people like those picks more than they like bottom of the first round, because you're not on the hook for as much of a salary, right? So, and you're basically getting a comparable player at that point. But still, like, if you're Dallas and you say, let's kind of look ourselves in the mirror right now. Do we want another? Do we want to just add another second round pick here that we kind of got for free anyway to next season roster, or should we just go for it? Like, should we just go get a young talented center like Willie Cauley-Stein? Is the player that we get at the top of the second round going to be more valuable to us in the next couple of years than a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein would? And I think the answer is pretty clearly no to that. And if you're the Warriors, there's an opportunity. Like, let's construct this trade right now. I mean, just doing a little bit of playing around on the trade machine, which isn't 100% accurate, but Dallas can just give Isaiah Roby, who's a forward out of, I think, Nebraska. He's a rookie forward out of Nebraska who doesn't really play for them a whole lot. You move Isaiah Roby and a second-round pick over to Golden State for Willie Cauley-Stein, and if you're the Warriors, you get a second-round pick and you free $500,000, $600,000 worth of cap space, which of course could be a lot very valuable in trying to convert a guy like Marquise Chris or even later a guy like Kai Bowman to the regular roster.
And speaking of Marquise Chris, I mean, I don't know how he feels about it. And again, it's all speculation, but man, I mean, looking at the fact that he signed that two-way deal, great for the Warriors, just in time before a guy like Dwight Powell goes down, because maybe that would have been a spot for Marquise Chris, but you know, too bad Dallas, he's a Warrior right now. So good for the Warriors. Good for Marquise Chris, maybe. I mean, I don't know how he feels. And again, who knows if Dallas would actually want him, but that would be a pretty solid option off the street.
Oh, they would have claimed him.
Midway through the season.
They would have claimed him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yep. So, tough loss. Dwight Powell, I mean, he's the quintessential center for today's basketball, in my opinion. You know, can protect the rim a little bit, vertical spacer. And they just don't have anyone else like him on the roster. They don't have a backup, a good backup to, you know, it's Boban and it's Porzingis, who Porzingis is basically kind of gotten the, maybe he's not as good as we thought, but also he's kind of getting the Chris Bosh, Kevin Love treatment when they went with LeBron, is, you know, kind of space the floor and let Luka do his thing. And so a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein's value could have just risen. It'll be interesting to see what happens before the trade deadline. And if Willie Cauley-Stein's on the move or not. Wes, you just did your mailbag recently, and there was one question that popped out that I found really interesting and tough to project, but we're going to get to it in just a minute.
Are you looking for a spring vacation? Follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. You get to follow your favorite baseball team to Arizona for Cactus League, 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles. Meet the players and get autographs before games. It's such a great experience, guys. It's like summer league in the NBA. You're rubbing shoulders with these guys at the local restaurants and bars. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a baseball fan. It's also completely family-friendly. Bringing kids along to spring training, it's a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That is visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Wes, you've been doing your mailbag for the Mercury News. Obviously, go check out all of Wes's content, mercurynews.com, or just follow him on Twitter at WC Goldberg. He posts all his stuff there. You can find it all great work. But this one was pretty interesting to me because it speaks to this season pretty much and what this season's about, but it's weird because it's kind of about next season, obviously. And the question comes from Boxcar Baz. What is your level of confidence that Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, Amari Spellman, and Damian Lee can be real contributors to next year's squad? And my level of confidence, that's tough because it's four players. I'm confident that Eric Paschal will be the backup power forward. So he's going to be contributing. If his three ball gets better in the offseason, you could potentially see him play some three.
Is that who you're most confident in of that group, Eric Paschal? Because that's kind of how I was looking at it. Who are you most confident in of that group, and who are you least confident in that group?
So most confident, you know, yes, it's Eric Paschal because I think he's definitely going to be getting time. I think that's a shoe-in. But, man, that – the way Amari Spellman's been shooting recently, if he is a 38 to 40% three-point shooter, like a legit three-point shooter, he's going to be in the rotation every single night. Now, again, that remains to be seen. He was hot, struggled for a couple games, you know, but just standard struggles. He hasn't been terrible or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I guess it would be Eric Paschal I'm most confident in, with Amari Spellman as a close second. Damian Lee would be a close third. I mean, I think they're all three of them are going to be getting the opportunity to contribute. And I think they will at different levels. Poole's the biggest wild card, obviously. I mean, if he can prove that he's a microwave scorer off the bench, he'll get his opportunities. But if he starts to struggle again, they're not going to have the same amount of patience next year that they have with him this year.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that ranking. I may put Damian Lee slightly ahead of Omari Spellman, but there's major questions with pretty much all of them. I think with Eric Paschal, I mean, the question isn't really can they contribute during the regular season. I think we'll see all of them over the course of next regular season. I don't think that there's any doubt in that, but you know, Draymond Green has that phrase, 16-game players, right? Mm-hmm. Who among those guys are the 16-game players? Because that's what we're really talking about, right? I mean, all of them can sort of soak up minutes over the course of the regular season, which that will be their main purpose for the most part. But, you know, who are going to be the 8 or 9 guys that makes up Steve Kerr's rotation in the playoffs? Because we know that their goal next year is to, you know, win a championship. Their window is for 2 or 3 years. They've got to determine which one of these guys can really help them win championships. So, I think Jordan Poole, obviously, he'll be 20 next year, 21. He's more of a long-term project, so it's not necessarily, you know, a detriment against him if he's not one of those guys. But Damian Lee's 27 years old. I think they look at Eric Paschal as a mature, you know, he'll be 23 kind of guy who they think ought to be a rotation player even in the postseason. And then Omari Spellman, same, like you said, I mean, there's not a lot of guys his size who can shoot the way he does. And those guys we've seen over and over again in the playoffs are really valuable, especially if they can hold their own defensively, which Amari Spellman has progressively gotten better and better at that end. And I think he'll be a pretty decent defender by next season. But the thing with Omari is he's still really, really raw. And there are nights where he looks great and there are nights where he's just kind of a non-factor. And he might be like, if he can't play the five in the playoffs, he could get played off the court because we've seen guys like him at the four get played off the court. You kind of go smaller. You kind of go more versatile at that position. Eric Paschal, like, can he function within an offense with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and D'Angelo Russell if he's still around and all these guys? I mean, he's not a good passer. He's kind of a black hole offensively. Mm-hmm. I think he averages more turnovers than assists this year, or it's pretty close one for one. Like, he needs to kind of pick up his game at that end and kind of be more than just sort of this bench scorer who shows up when, you know, the team's basically just injured, you know. Yeah. And for Damian Lee, I think he just needs to stay healthy. But, you know, how versatile is he really defensively in the postseason? Can he get attacked defensively in those situations? So I think that's what, if you're the Warriors, you've got to look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, which one of these guys do we really think can be one of our top 8 or 9 in the postseason? And if you think that one of those guys can, okay, pencil that person into the rotation. And if not, then you need to find a replacement. And I think that's where you start getting into, you know, trades and trade exceptions and mid-level exceptions, et cetera.
The term 16-game player was so great when he first said it, and it made so much sense. And then that 16-game player turned out to be Jacob Evans. And it's just that term has lost some of its luster. But I agree with it, though. It's all about playoffs and who can contribute. And I guess when it comes to that, I'm most confident in Damian Lee, just because he's the only player out of the four that we've actually seen take the court with Steph and Clay and Draymond before. So mm-hmm. we at least know that he can fit in to a certain extent, where we've also seen guys like Nick Young and Omri Caspi and, you know, whoever else come in and just freeze in those situations because you're on the floor with, you know, two of the greatest shooters of all time. So Damian Lee, we know, can work a little bit at least. The other guys, we just haven't seen it yet. And, you know, for just about all three of them, one of the major parts is that three ball, you know, if they can knock down the three and spread the floor, you're more likely to get time. If not, you're just taking space away from Steph and Clay. out on the court. So, I mean, a lot of it's about how they progress throughout this
offseason.
And then
to throw in a couple more guys into that conversation, I mean, Marquise Chris, if they're able to convert him, we expect them to try to at least bring him back. I actually do think he functions well in the postseason. He's just got such a natural feel for the game that I think is the reason why he got a roster spot in training camp and preseason. So I like how he projects into a playoff setting, especially the way he played with Steph Curry during the preseason. And then another guy, Alec Burks, who is coming off of a 33-point game. We look at all these guys. I mean, who do you really trust in a playoff setting? I trust Alec Burks in a playoff setting, as long as he's healthy and that three ball is going down the way it has this season. And I really do think that factors into some of this stuff that the Warriors have been thinking about, especially as it regards to the trade deadline, is do we want to just trade Alec Burks for a second round pick? Because how many of these guys do we think can replace his value in the playoffs next year? Is it worth getting just adding a second round pick next year versus rolling the dice in free agency and trying to bring him back?
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. Whenever I bring up trading Alec Burks, it's just because I don't think they'll be able to afford him. If they can afford him and bring him back, that would be fantastic. I would love to have him back because what he brings off the bench is something they haven't really had. I mean, a legit scorer off the bench, which is so funny to talk about with, you know, one of the most prolific offenses of all time. They were just so top heavy and haven't had a guy like Alec Burks that can come off the bench and do what he's done. So, I mean, yeah, if you decide that the gamble to take him into the offseason and see what happens with him and possibly retain him is worth more than a, you know, random second round pick, then I, you know, I'm all for it, but it's just, you have to make that educated guess. And I still think he'd make more in the open market, especially in a weak free agency class, because a team could come out and just, that's the thing. It's not about him making $20 million a year. If a team comes out and offers him $4 million a year for 2 years, that's out of the Warriors' price range. So it's just
Yeah, and I agree with you. Yeah.
It's such a gamble, but I'd love to have him back. One last thing before we go is the Dubs are taking on the Utah Jazz tonight. David Locke of the Utah Jazz radio broadcast and our fearless leader here at Locked On Podcast Network had a take that was pretty interesting. And now, Wes, tell me if I'm getting this right or wrong here. Do you think that screen assists should be added to the triple-double criteria? So a screen assist is obviously when you a guy sets a screen and it turns into a bucket. David Locke sure thinks so. Where are you at with that?
David Locke loves his advanced stats. You and I know this. I think our listeners, if they've ever listened to Locked on NBA for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, understand that he loves his advanced stats. He makes his own advanced stats. He lives in an advanced stats world, which is remarkable for a play-by-play guy. Because a lot of play-by-play, and you and I know this, a lot of play-by-play guys don't use advanced stats, mostly because it's just hard to include them in a typical broadcast, right? It is very hard to go into that. You're trying to use layman's terms a lot, and advanced stats typically don't lend themselves to that. However, that has not ever stopped David Locke. And after the Utah Jazz beat the Nets last week in a game, that next morning David Locke tweeted, triple-double for Rudy Gobert last night, 22 points, 18 rebounds, and 10 screen assists. And so that goes to your question, should a screen assist be added to the box score, basically? And the answer is quite clearly no. It should not count towards a triple-double. That's insane. I'm anti-triple-double anyway. Give me LeBron's 27-7-7 over Russell Westbrook's 18-10-10 on, you know, 26, you know, shot attempts a game every day of the week.
Yes.
But so in the spirit of just not caring about triple doubles, I also don't care if screen assists are counted towards them, but they clearly should not count towards them. First of all, they're entirely
subjective.
They just rely on the player actually coming off of your screen. I mean, if you're setting a screen for Draymond Green, well, you're probably not going to get a screen assist you're not going to get counted for that screen assist, because more likely than not, Draymond Green is going to miss whatever shot he takes. But if you set a screen assist for Steph Curry, yeah, you're probably going to get counted for that screen. You're going to get credit for that screen. What's the difference in that screen? Probably nothing. Like it's the same quality of screen either way, but it just completely depends on whether or not the player you're screening for makes or misses his shot. So yeah, it's insane, but it kind of does. what made it such a polarizing topic on Twitter, at least, was how do you measure a guy like Rudy Gobert's value?
Impact,
and we've
yeah.
seen the Warriors have problems with Rudy Gobert in the past, and I think they're still going to have problems with him tonight.
No question. I mean, Rudy Gobert is great, and also that I think is part of why he's on David Locke is on his screen assist game is because it is Rudy Gobert who I believe leads the league in screen assists, or is one of the top in the league. And Rudy's great, but I mean, I also can never shake the image of Steph, you know, twirling him around twice on the perimeter before going to the hoop. So you know, again, he is great, but he's got his limitations as well. But no, the screen assist should not be added to triple doubles. And I'm so glad you said what you said about triple doubles, because all of a sudden, once Russell Westbrook, you know, averages it for however many years and has three straight first round playoff losses, I just had to throw that one in there as a jab. But for some reason, we only measure good games if it's a triple double. It can't be a good game if it's not a triple double. And I'm with you. Give me that the year. Russell Westbrook, the first year he did the triple doubles and got his MVP, I would have much rather taken Harden's, you know, what was it, 38-8-9, you know, over
right.
Westbrook's triple double. So glad you said it, Wes. Anytime I can rip on Westbrook, I will take that that chance. So I appreciate the opportunity. Dubs taking on Jazz tonight. Wes, do the Dubs win? Give me that classic optimism.
Nope.
Damn it.
They're not gonna win.
Couldn't even give us the sure. Yeah, it's a tough matchup. We'll see. It would be, you know, they're going to win some random
games.
Now
they're going to win.
Yeah, I know,
now
exactly.
They're gonna win, now
exactly.
Enough.
They'll win by 20. So. They'll win some random games for sure, but this definitely doesn't feel like one of them. But either way, we will be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.